This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
One of the largest Canaanite cultic complexes excavated in Israel has been found at Tel Berna, which is probably the biblical city of Libna. It's located near the Philistine border southeast of Jerusalem. Before the Israelites and the Philistines arrived on the scene, there was this Canaanite city with some kind of a connection to the island of Cyprus, 800 miles away. The excavation of Tel Berna ended this summer after 14 seasons in the field. As Lipscomb University archaeologist Steve Ortiz began to tell us in our last program, when he and his team joined the dig 6 years ago, their focus became that Canaanite cultic complex.
There really wasn't a building where they had these various components there. And so when we joined the project in 2018, we were going to expand south and kind of put this cult context. The question is, where did the priests live? Was there a temple? Where's the Late Bronze Age settlement? This is a big cult complex. Where are the people? We've been trying to investigate that and find it. And so that's the recent discovery you're talking about. Just south of this complex, we found what we thought was a typical Late Bronze Age type of structure, elite building, based on the size. And so this season, we were just going to expand that elite building and, you know, find out, okay, this is where the priests lived. And then you had the cult complexes to the north. Well, this building grew and grew and grew, that it's one of the largest structures down in the southern Levant during the 13th century.
In terms of size, what would you compare it with?
In the 14th century BC, you have Egyptian-style residences, but they call them governor's residences. We find these in the south on the Egyptian border. We have temples up at Beit She'an, Egyptian temples. This building is bigger than those Egyptian temples. Again, this is just 2 weeks ago. We just, you know, did the measurements, you know, 2 weeks ago. We ended it. But when we look at various plans, it's a large building complex.
So you're not going to be digging there anymore. The 14th season is the last season, but now you're going to be studying and working on a report to develop the context.
Correct. And like any projects, you have to end sometime. This building, we only had a three-week season. Part of that was, you know, the condensed of the war. We had a smaller group because people weren't coming to Israel. So we basically just had our Lipscomb's PhD students working there and our Real students. So because of that, our attempt was just to get the plan of this building. But we knew it was rich. We've already opened up some floors, a lot of store jars, metal working. It's a high concentration of metal there. Basically, what we did is we left it where somebody can come back and actually excavate each of the rooms. Now, these rooms, it's all mud brick collapse. So you can kind of see the walls, and between the walls, just sealed by this mud brick collapse. So the mud brick walls caved in on it. And that's where it'll just take time. You know, each room, you got to excavate the mud brick. But when you excavate it, then that pretty much sealed what was the contents of that room.
Are there stone foundations under the mud brick?
A course of, and that's what we found. We have the stone courses that we can do the outline of the building. What's unique is it's all built on bedrock. Bedrock is higher here. So this is a single period site. They use the bedrock in their construction.
So are you tempted to go back there yourself?
Of course, you're always tempted to go back. But, you know, we have to finish this project. You know, we joke about it. It's like my co-director and I, it's like, you know, one of our students will come back. And when we have better technology, we have, you know, 10 years later, and they will be able to excavate this building.
Because that's been the story of archaeology.
Yes. We might get a donor who says, yes, we want you to go back, and they will fund, you know, an excavation and go back.
Are there other Canaanite temples then that you're going to be looking at to compare and that might shed light on what you've excavated so far?
Yes, Canaanite temples and government complexes during the Late Bronze Age. So you have these Egyptian ones up the coast. You have one at Aphek, at Lachish, Tal Sarah, Tal Gerar, at Gaza itself. You have them all going all the way up to the Jezreel Valley up at Beit Sha'an up north. And so you have these Egyptian enclaves within this Canaanite area. Are unique because there's an open air component to it. And we get some of these open air ones in the Iron One in the later period, like Mount Ebal.
Well, thanks for mentioning Aphek. That's the Egyptian palace was being excavated when I was a volunteer there in 1978.
Okay, so you're familiar with
Good
that.
memories, yeah.
Yes.
So you went from Tel Gezer to Tel Berna, two sites in the Shephelah, the border between Israel and the Philistines. What are you looking at in terms of future excavations? Are you making any decisions yet on where you want to go?
Yes, we enjoy our team. We get along well. And RVR University is a newer university in Israel, and they're growing. Lipscomb's just developing. They're slowly becoming R3. They're going to become an R2 institution. And part of it is the archaeology program there. We have a strong MA and PhD program. Anyway, so we're trying to unite, and we did spend this summer looking at different sites. The war has changed things. We kind of wanted to go south. The Edomite period is hot and we have metal. And so you have to know that there's a lot going on in the Negev area. And perhaps we should go back to the Negev and investigate some of these sites, kind of going into Gaza, going up north. We thought about also going up north. A lot is happening up north. We just don't know. I'm being hesitant because I'm not going to. We looked at some of the sites, but we do have a site that has moved up to our list. Interested in that. We can't say, what it is, but it's something, that's uniting the Philistine in the Judeans. So, we decided to stay in this area since we have Gezer, since we have Berna, but also Edomites coming up the coast and getting into this trade. This copper trade that went up coast, and you have the Egyptians coming up. It'd probably be a biblical site. But also, I'm looking at my career, and this site will probably be the last site I excavate, a 10, 15-year project. And I'm getting older. I was just talking to my wife the other day, and I said, this is the project I'm not going to finish. This is going to be a project I get started, and my students are going to finish it. Just knowing how, God's numbered our days, and I have to be responsible. So I'm thinking about that too. So this will probably be the last major project that I'm heading up, that I'm involved in.
For those who've just joined us, we're talking with Steve Ortiz, a professor of archaeology and biblical studies at Lipscomb University and director of the Lanier Center for Archaeology at Lipscomb and co-director of the Tel Berna excavation, which has just wrapped up its 14th and final season during the summer of 2024. You had an article recently in Biblical Archaeology Review with your Gezer co-director, Sam Wolf. Is Gezer pretty well wrapped up, or do you still have some work you want to do there?
We're in the publishing phase. In fact, we're in the lab for 2 weeks. I have three PhD students that are doing various chapters. We have another fourth one. So we're busy in publication. We're drawing the pottery. We're analyzing it. This is a team effort. Our metals are going to one place. Our C14 dating goes to another lab. We basically bring ringleaders as stuff is getting published. But you're correct. A lot is coming out. You saw the Barr article. That was our big Solomon's Palace that we discussed there. And so this is slowly coming out. It'll be, over 10 years. It'll be coming out. More stuff will be coming out.
Digging is one part of the archaeological process, and publishing and wrapping up the dig is also very important. And that hasn't always been the case in archaeology. Sometimes that's been neglected.
Oh, yes. I tell people for every season, you have two seasons of analysis. People ask us, why'd you stop at Gezer? I go, we've worked for 10 seasons. I go, that means it's going to be 20 seasons to publish everything. I hope it's sooner than that, but, you know, but just, you know, simple math. It's going to take a while for Gezer to come out. We've been working on it. One of the issues is because we have an archaeology program, you still need a field project. And so we have these field projects. I have the next generation of students who are going to need to have original research. So this new project I start is going to be for this next generation of students to have training in archaeology and biblical archaeology and training in how to interpret the artifacts. Or I jokingly said in the last segment that I won't finish this one. This will go to the next professor or whoever replaces me, which will probably be one of my students, this next generation. And coming back to Gezer, I'm sure one of my students will come back after we publish it and correct the work that I did.
Well, you talk about students, but there's also a place for volunteers. Anybody can go and volunteer at an excavation. And I was looking at the news release that Lipscomb University released on Tel Berna this summer, and it said a dozen different countries were represented on the excavation team. What's that like?
Well, this is all the different components, the different scientific research. We have a strong European team that's doing a lot of the scientific analysis. But also our staff members come from all over. We have Manitoba University. So we have some professors working on our bones at the site, but they also have students doing archaeology. And so that's the nature of any dig, especially in Israel. It's very international.
I think there's at least one volunteer that started with you at Gezer and continues on at Tel Berna, and there's probably more than one.
Oh, yes. We pretty much moved our whole team over to Tel Berna. And so all my PhD students, my MA students moved with me.
Any final words to say about archaeology?
Well, you know, this is a love of mine. It's a love of yours. And the unique thing is that archaeology is that one discipline that every summer, every time we shovel a bunch of dirt out, something new always comes up. And it's always exciting to learn more about the ancient history, but also importantly to learn about the authenticity of God's word.
And one of the traditions of biblical archaeology is sometimes the most dramatic discoveries are made on the last day of the dig.
That's always the case, yes.
Well, my thanks to Steve Ortiz for joining us on our program today. He's professor of archaeology and biblical studies at Lipscomb University and director of the Lanier Center for Archaeology at Lipscomb University, and has been co-director of the Tel Berna excavation. We'd like to thank you for listening on our program today, and remember that we have a website that has breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority, as well as other resources, including information on our quarterly Biblical Archaeology news magazine, Artifacts. You can find out more by going to our website at radioscribe.com. That's radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.